morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're also podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen to the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later on in the program, we're going to be speaking with Brett Morgan about his fabulous new film called Chicago 10, which is opening this weekend at the Center for Contemporary Arts. Right now, I would like to welcome Scott Harrison. He is the director of Ironweed Productions' latest play, Doubt, A Parable, and actors Jonathan Dixon and Danielle Reddick. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hello.
It's great to have you now. I just saw the rehearsal of this last night. Amazing play set in the Bronx in the 1960s during the Civil Rights Movement, and the characters are all at a very, what would you call it, straight-laced Catholic school, mm-hmm. and you've got two nuns, one a severe, middle-aged, very strict and suspicious nun, and the other one this lovely, open-hearted, progressive, innocent girl. Set up the play for us from there, Scott Harrison.
It takes place in 1964. There's a preacher, Father Flynn, played by Jonathan, at the church and school. He actually teaches the kids the kids as well. He teaches physical education and religion. And in the beginning of the play, Sister Aloysius, the principal of the school, becomes convinced that Father Flynn has an inappropriate relationship with one of his young eighth grade students, Donald Mueller, who's actually the school's first black student. And she sets about on a course to take him down, and enlists the help of this young nun, Sister James, to try to help help bring Father Flynn down. And the two, Father Flynn and Sister Aloysius, have a very different very different philosophies about the church. So Father Flynn's much more feels like the church needs to have a more human face. Sister Aloysius is guided more by judgment, suspicion, harsh punishment, that type of thing.
And it's it makes it a very interesting experience for the audience, because you're sitting there not knowing where to put your heart, because of course here we are in this era of pedophile priests. And you don't want to root for the guy if he's done something horrible.
Right.
And yet you don't want to root for the woman who is so accusatory and really heartless.
Right.
And you don't know, and therefore it's a really great play.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, that's the title really says it all, in terms of keeping the audience uncertain as to where, like you say, to put your heart and which character you really believe.
Now, Father Flynn is, the play opens with him giving a sermon about doubt, played by you, Jonathan mm-hmm. Dixon. How do you see your character? How do you understand him?
I have to be careful what I say, because I sort of have
because
to be...
Because it may be used against you in a court of law.
I sort of have to be quite evasive, because I can't say too much, because it might give away...
You don't want to give away...
The whole point of the play.
Right.
I think he... Oh, dang. The interesting thing about this is even Scott and the other cast members don't know whether he did anything or not. So I've just come up with something in my head. And I guess what I'll say is he's complex. He's a real person. He's not... And I'm amazed at how many people hear about this play and go, oh, he's a priest, he did it. And the way it's written is nobody's black and white, and nobody's evil, and nobody's completely good, and everyone has issues, and they're people. And so that's what I tried to find, something real in there, something to... Every line of the play, trying to find something real to base it on without necessarily saying what it is.
And there's sort of layers of irony in the, you know, nothing's black and white, because that's a line that's said in the play a couple of times. And, of course, the nuns are wearing black and white, and the issue of race is black and white in the play. And yet there's all this doubt that's sown in the heart of every person sitting in the audience.
Yeah.
Danielle, your character is a small but extremely important part. You have one scene in the play where you come in to talk to this heartless principal, and really, you're the only person who can stand up to her.
Yeah. It's a very powerful scene, and I really feel lucky to be able to do it. But the perspective of the mother is turns out to be challenging in the piece, I think. You know, it turns out to be, again, I don't want to give anything away, but, you know, she has a really interesting perspective about the situation.
Her boy is the first black child ever to be admitted into the school, mm-hmm. and he has you can't say a problem exactly, but he's insecure, and the priest, played by Father Flynn, is the one person in the school who's actually helping him mm-hmm. and who's being nice to him. Mm-hmm. And you, as the mother, really acknowledge that.
Yeah, and she's, she's really intent on her son's survival at any cost. And I think that's her primary motivation, is her son's survival. And, and anyone who can help that happen is good in Mrs. Mueller's eyes, I think.
You find yourself in the play, watching it, really wanting to know what the truth is. And then I sort of was thinking about what the word truth even means in the first place, and suspicion and innocence each kind of have their own associated truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we've been talking a lot about why the play is called Doubt, a parable, why he says it's a parable. And, I mean, I think there's an element to the play where, I mean, it's a great story in terms of trying to determine what happened and the audience getting the rug pulled out from under them as soon as they think they know the lay of the land. I think it's also, it's just a larger, the play addresses a larger issue, which is why he calls it a parable, which is that it's just the strength of doubt and uncertainty, and the courage to admit that you have uncertainty and you have doubt is a very, very fertile place to be. It can be a very unsettling place to be, but it's a very fertile place for human beings to be.
Well, one thing that struck me is the subtitle, A Parable. There's actually a line in the play where somebody asks him, did you make up that sermon? And he says, you make up little stories to illustrate in the tradition of the parable. And that's what John Patrick Shanley did with this. He made up the story to illustrate what doubt feels like, and you have to experience it because they never tell you what's going on, which is pretty much like 99% of life, I think.
We're talking about the play Doubt, a Parable, which opens at El Museo Cultural, and it has a nice long run. It opens on Thursday night. That's tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, tomorrow, and runs Thursday,
God.
Friday.
Good God. I better cancel that party.
I had to work tomorrow night.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 8 p.m. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 2 p.m. Sunday, for the next three weekends through the 18th of May mm-hmm. at El Museo Cultural in Santa Fe on Paseo de Peralta. So this isn't you. Is this the first non-Sam Shepard play that you've produced?
No, well, we did Night Mother last year, so
all
we
right.
took our little respite from Shepard, yeah.
All Sam Shepard, all the time.
I know, exactly. Yeah.
Well, this
Sam
isn't Shepard. Sam Shepard, but it might as well be the sort of New York Catholic version thereof. And, I mean, you really like these sort of searing, psychological, super serious dramas.
Yeah, well, I definitely love, one thing I love about it is just it's just a great story. I mean, aside from the larger kind of issues that it addresses, it's just a great tale. I mean, there's suspense, there's twists and turns, it's just a great story to tell, and I think I love stories that can kind of keep the audience on the edge of their seats and not knowing what's going to happen next, and this is definitely one of those plays.
And it's a small ensemble, four actors, and very simple, beautifully designed set.
Yeah, Patrick Mahaffey designed our set and just did a wonderful, wonderful job. We have just great designers, Karina Cragen, who did the lighting, and Grady Hughes, who just did a haunting sound design. And so, yeah, the design has just been such an important element of the whole production.
Who is Patrick Shanley, and when did he write this play? John Patrick Shanley, when did he write this play?
This was written in 2004. It won the Pulitzer Prize in 2005. He's been writing for a long time. He's actually written some screenplays. He wrote Moonstruck. He won the Academy Award for that. But this was a play that won him the Pulitzer Prize. And he said, I mean, it was interesting reading an article about him. He said it really just came out of... The seed of the story came out of, he was telling someone, he said, I want to write a play about doubt, and that's all I knew. Like, he didn't know how the story was going to unfold. And it kind of took, the seed of it kind of took place during 9/11 and the build up into the Iraq War. And he just started with that idea of, I want to write a play about doubt.
Because everything seemed so certain then, or certain people seemed so certain about... This is the way it is. And
right. Yeah. We were being told things that were certainty, and they weren't. We came to find out that they weren't necessarily as certain as they had depicted it. So.
Well, there's something sort of wonderful about being certain, and something very insecure about being uncertain, and yet there's so much self-deception that people who are so certain about everything are often engaging in, and this play really kind of illustrates that.
There's a line where Sister James, the younger nun, says to the older nun, Sister Aloysius, I wish I could be like you, because it is easier.
Right.
And yet the heart of the younger nun is so open, and her students love her so much, and how can you argue with that type of person?
Right.
She seems to be the one the audience probably can relate to the most, sort of torn between the two stronger viewpoints.
Well, it's a very interesting play. What are the challenges for you in casting a play like this and directing it?
Well, I mean, fortunately for me, in terms of casting it, I was very lucky because when I first read the play, the four people that are in, Jonathan, Danielle, Karen, and Vanessa, just immediately popped into my head when I read the play. I hadn't even thought about doing it. I was just... I heard the play was great. I ordered it and I read it, and they all immediately came into my mind as I read it. And so, I mean, it's very fortunate to have an opportunity to have asked them to want, you know, if they were interested in doing it, and they were. And of course, they brought so much more than I could have imagined when I first read it. So the casting part was, fortunately for me, was very very easy. Because the people that I envisioned were interested in doing it, and they're the ones actually doing the production.
And they're fabulous. Karen Lee is an amazing Sister Aloysius, and Vanessa Rios y Valles, a very sweet Sister James.
Yeah.
And the other two are here with us right now. But then in terms of directing something like this and going through the process of rehearsals and so on, what are the sticky parts?
Well, I think part of it is keeping the element of doubt. You know, I mean, I have to watch it from the audience's perspective, and having seen it and being so familiar with it, it's you want to keep those elements of doubt in. And I mean, we actually had Mona Malik, who was in Night Mother last year, who came in periodically and gave another director's eye, which was really helpful to get a fresh pair of eyes on this play, which I think you need. The nice thing is we've had a long time to work on it. I mean, we had a read-through of it in June. You know, I love working on plays over a long period of time. We got together periodically in the fall to work on it. And it's been a process of kind of paring down. I think the play is so lean, there's no fat on the play, that it's been a matter of kind of exploring, and then paring away, because, you know, one movement in the play says, you know, as opposed to Sam Shepard, where people are flailing around, you know, can be flailing around all over the stage, one movement in this play can just tell so much. So it's been a process of really exploring and then just kind of paring away the fat.
That's very interesting, because even a movement of the eyes makes or breaks the whole scene.
Right, yeah, which is great. I mean, it's great to find those things, and you can really see in watching from the audience how, like you say, one turn of the head can just... say a world in terms of this play.
So let's talk about each of you. Danielle, you have lived in Santa Fe quite a while. What are you, what's your background in theater?
Well, I'm from New York, excuse me, and I started doing, you know, a lot of street theater off Broadway, and then I was on the road with a show for 4 years, a tour, and that was really grueling. And I quit that show and came here to Santa Fe.
What was the show?
Stomp. And it's a very physical show.
Yeah.
And, you know, I ripped open a hernia in the middle of a show and couldn't stand up for a week and a half. And that was when I quit. And came here and felt really embraced by Santa Fe right away, loved it right away. And as an actor, there was still opportunities here for me, and actually almost more so than in New York. You know, so I really enjoyed it.
Because there's just
here.
So few people here, and
there's
you can stand out.
There's just so few people, and as far, you know, and I'm a black woman, and as far as being a black woman actress in Santa Fe,
there's not a lot of competition.
There's not a lot of competition.
I could do any of her roles, though. I could do anything.
So, but I'm also a hypnotherapist and a NIA instructor, and I'm working on my degree in exercise science. And so, yeah, that's what I'm doing here in Santa Fe, being physical and being creative with theater.
And we hope your hernia is all set.
Oh yeah, it's all done. It's all healed. Thank goodness.
Jonathan, what about you?
What about me? Well, I didn't know Danielle was a hypnotherapist.
She's working on us right now.
Oh my. I'm a counselor and psychotherapist too.
Oh.
That's what I do. And I've just done acting all through college and here. It's my way of being sane and doing another part of myself. So. Yeah, pretty much done it from high school on as my own relaxation. Not relaxation, that trivializes it, but the other part of myself.
As a psychotherapist, when you find characters, do you find them to be parts of yourself?
You know, that's weird. I think it has to come from a true part of yourself. And when you can find something true in there, then it resonates and spark something true in the audience. And so it's not like I'm a chameleon genius, I can pretend and do all these inflections and stuff. That's just like a filter that the real thing has to shine through, and it tricks people into thinking the characters are real. But yeah
well, you're a fabulous Father Flynn cat. What about you, Scott? You've been doing theater all your life.
And I got started in college. Actually, it was kind of a whim. I had to take a general studies fine arts class, and I was playing an instrument at the time, so I didn't want to take music, and I heard the art teacher was boring, so I decided to take theater. And we had a great teacher. I mean, he actually had us experience like all the parts of theater. He had us write a little 5-minute scene, he had us do a little set design, and then he had us like act. He picked a few of the scenes, and he had us act in the scenes. And I remember I was playing this guy that was getting picked on by his roommate, and finally like took a stand, and I was hooked as soon as I, you know, did my little scene and, you know, took my stand and my, you know, the little 5-minute play we did. But it was actually a thing of where a teacher really encouraged. I mean, you know, I was totally hooked, brought into theater by a teacher in college. So.
It is quite amazing how the course of people's lives are set by something which can seem like such a small gesture, like the art teacher was boring.
Right, right. I know. Yeah, I know. Thank God he was boring.
If he even was.
Because I only draw stick figures, you know, so that would have been an empty trough to go to taking that class.
So tell us more about Ironweed Productions.
We do plays that are rooted in the American experience, so we do American plays. Again, I really like to do plays that plays where the audience really doesn't know what's going to happen next. I love those kind of plays, we love to work a long time in a theater grotesco. I kind of learned from John in terms of the value of working a long time on a play and having time to let it percolate.
How long have you been working on this one?
Well, we actually did a read-through of it 3 years ago when the rights weren't available then.
That's
we've
a
been
long
working
time.
On it every day for 3 years. No, but the rights weren't available, and so when they did come available, we got together in June, this last June, and we read it again. And then we kind of met individually over the summer, and then in the fall, about once a month, we would get together for a couple nights and work on it, and then go away and come back. And then in March, it was in March when we kind of started working on it full on. And that's been really rewarding. I mean, it's just, it gives you a chance to really work on things and then put it away for a while, and you're still working on it by just kind of letting it percolate.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Well, Scott Harrison is the director of Doubt, a Parable by John Patrick Shanley. Jonathan Dixon is Father Flynn. Danielle Reddick is Mrs. Mueller. The play opens on tomorrow, the 1st of May, at 8 o'clock in the evening at El Museo Cultural, and continues Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 2 in the afternoon. And that continues on for the next several weekends, and the last day is the 18th of May.
Right.
Thank you all so much for being with us, and I hope the public gets to experience this incredible play. You know what? I don't even love theater that much.
Yeah, we don't either.
Yeah, we're
just no, because so much theater just isn't good, and this is wonderful. And so when you have a play that is transcendent and the acting is really good, you get so caught up in the magic of it that all your doubts go away. So anyway, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us on.
We're going to take a little break right now, and when we come back, we'll be talking to Brett Morgan about the film Chicago 10. Stay tuned.
Author Mary Roach got very involved in researching her latest book called Bunk.
Observing in a sex lab is not easy to do because the researchers are uncomfortable, the subjects are uncomfortable, and so what they would say to me is, well, I don't really see any way we're going to do this unless you're a subject.
The curious coupling of science and sex, next time on Bob Edwards Weekend from PRI.
Bob Edwards can be heard Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. on Santa Fe's public radio, 101.1 KSFR.
And I would like to welcome, joining us by telephone, Brett Morgan. He's the Oscar-nominated writer and director of the film Chicago 10, which opens in Santa Fe at the Center for Contemporary Arts this Friday, the 2nd of May. The film was the winner of the Chicago Film Festival's Best Documentary Award in 2007.
Hello?
And yes, Laurel.
Hey, Mary Charlotte. We're having a little trouble getting Brett on the phone.
Oh, dear. All right, well then I'll talk for a moment about this film, and let us know when you get him on.
I will. We are trying to get him on, so okay. We'll see what happens.
Excellent. This is a film that is set in, well, it's about the 1968 Democratic National Convention in Chicago and everything that led up to that crazy confrontation between the police and demonstrators and protesters who went to Chicago, tens of thousands of them. It's an interesting film that is opening at the CCA. Jason Silverman has written an article and a wonderful interview about it in the online version of Wired magazine, perhaps the print version as well. I'm not sure. Jason Silverman being the curator of film at the Center for Contemporary Arts. Let's see. While we wait for him to get on the phone, we can talk about dogs. Laurel, can you put on perhaps a little bit of music or an announcement? You're listening to KSFR 101.1 FM, 101.1 being our new frequency. 90.7 FM is going to be defunct within a few months, so for those of you who have your dials tuned to 90.7 FM, you might want to change them to 101.1 and get used to our new frequency. Or for those of you listeners who are on the web, it is ksfr.org. So we are podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen to the show pretty much anytime you want. There are many people who don't get up this early, as I probably wouldn't if I weren't here, and they listen to the show at later times of day on KSFR. So we're going to go to a song right now, and please stay tuned.
Mm-hmm. Se você me perguntar, vou responder. Se você não me disser, vou descobrir. Se você me assistir, vou te mostrar tudo que há pra saber e um tanto mais. Se você não me levar, eu vou atrás e no jogo de se completar, a gente faz um par ímpar. Mas se você não responder, vou perguntar. Se você não descobrir,